we nominate Alison to go next?
Or just pick it up.
Yeah.
Cool. Alison, okay. No, you go for it.
We can tag team everybody and call on the next or something. Hello, my name is Alison. I'm Alisa. I live in Sebastopol and I teach in Sebastopol and I mother in Sebastopol. And I'm working right now on a few things that are absorbing my brain or have been for a while. I think that it is a nice question to say what it is that we're looking from the course, but it is hard to really make concrete. You know, it's hard to be clear. I think that one of the main reasons why I signed up was my alignment with Jeff and Louisa and what they're doing and learning more about them and my admiration for their whole family. And also because I've been connecting on both in the classroom and outside of the classroom to focus on how do we communicate, how do we connect, how do we focus on our conversational abilities to bring humanity sort of to that next level forward and what that looks like and things like that. So I'm kind of working on a few different projects related to that. But one of them is definitely curriculum and bringing it into schools. And the other one is starting and launching, or trying to, community currencies. And especially here in Sonoma County is where I'm focused, especially because of the quarantine and the economic free fall, you know, as that we have going on. So those are some things that I'm working on. And I look forward to seeing how to incorporate all of this and one another and keep doing it.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Awesome.
So David, I'm calling on you.
there was a community currency in Sonoma at some point. I knew somebody who was working on one a number of years ago and I can't remember what the hell it was called. After I went to the Economics of Peace conference a number of years ago, I bumped into the guy that was held in Sonoma. And I think I just tracked you down on LinkedIn. So and you teach economics, so I'm David Hodgson. I'm in Berkeley. Known Jeff at least for quite a long time now, 8 or 9 years maybe it is. We first bumped into one another. I am obviously British, as you can probably tell by my accent. and I've been in the US 23 years, I think it is. And I like to build human networks, human social systems. I don't know if build is really the right metaphor to use, that are focused on regeneration. So we've got an overlap there, Alison. And have this online global community right now with 300 people in it called the Global Regeneration Co-Lab, where we're convening all the interesting people I can lay my hands on to discuss regenerative activity around the world. Jeff and Louisa's background is highly aligned enabling these kinds of things, so I felt like I could use some wisdom, and I think they've got a little bit of it at least, hard-won wisdom from their work over the years, so that's why I'm showing up here today. So I think that leaves you, I guess there's Louisa, but Rachel, if she looks like your baby is almost asleep now.
Yes, hi, I'm Rachel. This is Mary. She's 2 months old. I live in Sebastopol and I hired Magenta a few years ago to work with my company, a cannabis company that I founded, to help build the kind of culture and organizational environment, as well as leadership coaching for myself and other leaders in the company. And we've also built a really good friendship, and I'm joining the course to just further my development as I'm not working right now. I'm just working in the home and then figuring out my next steps for when I re-enter the workforce and possibly head in new directions. So questions, I don't really have questions that I'm bringing to the call, but I am in the midst of module one, and I'm just, I don't know if we'll get into any of that today, but I'm interested in hearing at some point kind of what's coming up for others, and just sort of hear some other experiences people are having at some point on this call or another.
Cool. Awesome.
Oh, Iron, you can check in.
Hello everyone, I'm Iron. I'm Jeff and Louise's eldest daughter. I'm 20 years old. I usually go to school in New York, which is where I met Jonathan. But due to pandemic related circumstances, I am right back here again. I obviously grew up with the two of them constantly talking about social sculpture and the state of the world. So I have very visceral understanding of a lot of the content, but I have also still a very hard time articulating my understanding of it, or necessarily talking about it. I have a fairly good way that I describe what my parents do, but beyond that I have a difficult time with articulating it, so I'm excited to both be a part of and contribute to the course, because it very much aligns and is sort of a background with what I have to do as an artist and designer in the next couple of decades.
The adaptory.
Yeah, so at the moment I am working with some of my friends and peers and fellow artists from New York to start an artist collective based on sort of redefining the way that the New York City art scene exists, and not only New York City, but sort of the art scene in general. And it's exclusive, it's cruel, it's awful, and my peers and I, you know, we're Gen Z, we were post 9/11 kids, we had drills in school that taught us what to do if a gunman came, and we are sort of tired of this old paradigm, and so we are looking to figure out how to use art as a leverage point in culture to design a new paradigm based on empathy and collaborative economy and creativity.
Awesome.
Do you want to go? You want
to go? I'm Louisa. I'm from New Zealand. We have a multicultural group here. I was a musician at one point, piano back there. I can't actually play the piano, but still. Done a lot of coaching, working with some people in the course, which is really great. Love it. Love working with people and being allowed into their intimate life. It's an amazing honor to be able to do that. Can't get enough of it. And my head is really in module two. So looking forward to when we actually get to that in our little agenda, because we're diving in and really want to, you know what you guys need, what's interesting to you, and fold that into what we're doing. So that's me.
Cool. Welcome, everybody. So, look, just a few little announcements. We're getting a community platform going, and there's a few little glitches that we're attending to, like being able to edit your post once you've posted it. Did we fix that?
Yeah, mostly.
We're working on that. We updated the user profile so you can write a little paragraph about yourself. And we're going to look into integrating that calendar plugin.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
So that you can basically put an event on your calendar from the community platform, right? So David Hodgson sent us a link, and we're going to be looking into integrating that. So if you have, as you go through the course, if there's any technical or, for that matter, content, of course, ideas or inputs, or if you see any glitches or anything, be sure to let us know, because we can get on it and improve it. Okay, so any further comments before we just dive into our sort of questions for this call?
Sure, I have one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it's a platform question because you were just talking about it, so I thought I'd just try to get that. I just logged on to it, and I noticed that, Senora Woolley, that you two had invited me to connect, but we are also part of this group forum. From my understanding, everybody that's in there is doing this program together. So what value does that give to further connect individually with everybody in the, like, is that something we need? Does that give us the ability to message each other, or what was that about? Because I thought we were already connected because we were in the group. So
So given that we are new to this platform, it's from a software company called BuddyBoss, and built on a WordPress, BuddyPress. Probably don't need to know the technical background. So we're just getting it going, and it's like this really powerful platform, and we're probably using like 10% of it so far. The way that I'm thinking about this is put it together, put it out there, and then see what's needed. Because, for instance, somebody gave me feedback that they would love to be able to read a paragraph or longer about the other people in the community so that they can kind of get a feel and they can say, oh, wow, this person is connected to me in terms of what my goals. And then they can connect with them and start talking. And as things happen, then you can form your own groups of conversation around particular topics. You can post on the forum. There's a whole forum aspect where you can just, you know, post a general question and follow the thread. So we were really looking for ways of containing and organizing the information, the questions, the responses, the conversations, because on Facebook, a private Facebook page, you can't do that. It just gets lost in the scrolling. And so in the groups that I participate in, people are constantly asking the same questions because they don't see that the same question was asked the week before. So I was really after a way to, because, you know, this whole course is going to be very information heavy.
I think she's asking about the connection between people.
Yeah, so if you want to connect, then go ahead. You know, it's up to you. I've connected with it. I'm asking to connect with everyone, and we're just going to see what opens up if you connect. Does it matter? Can you still message them? I don't really know.
Sure. Yeah.
Like a silly
tech question.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Yeah. We don't know.
Okay. I mean, maybe it's like a Facebook group that it can have 1,000 people in it, but you can have you're not friends with everybody within that group, but then you can make a friend within that group, and then they're on your list of friends, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like connect with someone before you start chatting with them. That might be how the system works. You can't just send random messages to anybody. You actually have to, they have to accept you as a connection.
We should test that.
You know, I can look it up. That's
okay, perfect.
Yeah. Sorry to divert in there. That's cool. We'll totally play around with it and figure it out together. No worries.
Yes.
But Louisa is running that part of things, so she is figuring it out as we go, and I think she's done a great job, so thank you for that. It's really cool. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm really enjoying it.
And it's, you know, it's another place where we can post some of our questions, and what we want to do is build a community where we can have conversations that aren't necessarily happening elsewhere in our lives. Like, there's a lot of things that I want to share and talk about that I don't want to put on Facebook. You know, it's not intimate enough. It's not safe enough. People aren't smart enough. This is another alternative.
Yeah. And just so you know, nobody else is on that platform, just the students in the school.
Yeah.
It's not a public thing. Any other
platforming questions?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's dive in. So those three questions, I wanted to just see if everyone is clear. Do you have any questions or thoughts about kind of the overarching arc of the course, the logic of the course, where you're going, what it's about, what you're doing? Is there anything like that we need to talk about? Or is it clear for everyone? I'll take that as a yes. And then what about module one? We're sort of diving in. Some of you have watched the videos. Some of you are starting to watch the videos. Rachel had a question. Rachel, why don't you repeat your question? And let's just see what's going on for people as you get into module one.
Well, my question is a little more like broad and just sort of the same question that you're posing, like what's going on for people in module one. I have watched all the videos. I haven't done the creativity. I haven't done any of the exercises for modules 3 or 4, so I need to download those and get the module. Those ones are the exercises. Definitely, it seems like more lengthy versus like the short practices. I have been repeating the practices from module 2, like the mental picturing exercises. Like, been trying to do that every day, but I haven't really spent any time like diving in yet to the exercises for 3 or 4. But yeah, finding the content like very captivating and I did follow up with Jeff about some questions around, I think it's video 2 when he goes into like the modeling with the images of the flower and the eye and the brain, that I had to like rewind and watch that several times. So we had a good like private conversation about, or just whatever, not private, like as in secret, but just one-on-one conversation about that. And that was helpful. And I also since started reading Goethe's Worldview. So I feel like that's going to kind of take me even deeper into this theory and these ideas that were described around that separation. But it's sometimes I feel like I've got a handle on it, and other times it's a very large concept that I think, wait, do I really have a handle on it, or is my perception of it like incorrect? So that's where I'm at.
Cool. Anybody else having similar experience? Yeah, Jonathan.
I feel a lot of what she said with like doing the phenomenology. I had a very hard time doing that. So I feel like I do need to keep doing that every day. And is that something you guys recommend? Like an everyday, multiple times a day type of thing till you kind of like get those images in your mind?
You know, so the point of the exercise, you're talking about the phenomenology exercise in video 3. Yeah, so this is a practice in seeing, first of all. And there won't ever come a time where you look at something and you memorize all the details. Like that would be photographic memory or something like that. But it's the point of the exercise is to first realize that you don't see what you see, right? I mean, you see it, but you don't yet see everything there is. So there's always more to discover. And the practice of seeing is again, not something that you need to feel like you have to master or that you have to do every day. My experience of these exercises is that if you do them regularly, your capacity for seeing, even for thinking non-verbally, will grow. And so basically, you know, the Goethe's worldview thing is almost like, okay, consciousness exists, but it's not part of the reductionist worldview. And in order to explore consciousness, we have to use consciousness. And so what exercises do we do that can help us experience different aspects or, say, vectors, possibilities for consciousness? And one of those is in our perception. So the perceptual exercises are really practicing perceiving. And you can do it with sight. You can do it with hearing, right? You can do it with touch. You can do it with balance. And it's just getting into the practice of perceiving attentively without clouding your consciousness with conclusions and thoughts and noise. And so this is one of those things that as you do it, you can just get better and better at. And then as you begin to create, or when you're in relationship, those abilities to perceive and enter the phenomena without overlaying it with your own thoughts become really important. So you can, you know, listen to another person's point of view, or see in yourself when you're agitated, you can start to notice things inner and outer and get more detail because you're practicing that.
Yes, it's a very important practice. And by practice, we mean if you can bring rhythm into it, like once a day, or, you know, just something that's regular, because you're building a new muscle.
Yeah,
that when becomes you go out really on a, important in the second and third module.
Yeah, when you go out on your walk, or when you go into your garden, or anytime you go outside, it's also fun, you know, choose a leaf or a snail or a flower and see something and then see it again and then see what you haven't seen. And see what happens, you know, what you'll see is that the world starts to tell you more than you at first thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I bring it up, because I feel like it's probably one of the most important things of the first module is doing that. I mean, I feel like everything I look at, I have some association, I have some, you know, and even through like starting this course, I'm trying to fight these like mental blocks where I start something, but then my mind drifts off, and just like bringing back to the present and trying to like focus on the thing that it is or the phenomena, you know, so... I'm going to work on that. I'm going to continue.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Yep. And that capacity becomes ever more important, because where we're going is learning to see archetypes. And it's very difficult to see the archetype if you're overlaying conclusions and, you know, that kind of thing onto the phenomena. You have to learn to let the phenomena speak. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it definitely does. But it's hard. I mean, it's going to take time to kind of like pull myself out of like everything I've learned and like enter into this new. But it's awesome. It's awesome at the same time. It's just, it's going to take, you know, practice and work. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're up for it.
I am. Most days I'm up for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Any other thoughts? Does that bring anything up for anyone?
Just that, you know, your dear friend or mutual friend, Pamela, and the whole community around this area and a part of the community that I've been immersed with is forest bathing or this ecotherapy. Mm. And there are a lot of virtual walks right now. And one of the things that is happening with that process, which I think is helpful essentially, because it's how to access greater parts of our sensory perception, which is, you know, the ability to receive information in order to gather more of the story, more of the complete picture. Noticing patterns with archetypes, but even then, how much cognitively we are trying to see something, you know, and make connections instead of just being open to receive. some information, and I think it's really supportive. And so it's kind of these virtual walks are easily accessible online right now. You can just kind of get on, and it's pretty simple, but you know, this sit spots and turning on the sensations and being able to drop into a place of a liminal space where we get a little bit out of our reaction and a little bit more into reception of intelligence in nature. And I think that's a good way to practice. So I'll put some links here and in our chat room if anybody wants to access those. And that'd hopefully we'll be offering them soon.
Yeah, and maybe if you could put them actually into the main activity feed of the community. So for those who aren't on the call, but who will, some people are going and listening to the recordings afterwards, and then if it's in the community space, then they can easily access it, because they won't be able to access it after I've put the recording up. Yeah, awesome. Cool. Any other thoughts? What's coming up in you?
That's my favorite question. Mm-hmm. Is that familiar?
So as we go, this entire course is designed to sort of go at your pace. So to your earlier question, Jonathan, I don't want you to feel any pressure, like you should be doing this every day. If these are the exercises that you're going to do in this course, the more you do them, the more the benefits will reveal themselves to you. The only reason we include any exercise is because we've done it a lot and we've seen it work in our own lives for ourselves. And we've done the research to understand where it comes from, what it's grounded in. So as we go through the course, and I want to transition to discussing the next couple of modules, I think it's going to be best if we all understand that these things build on each other. They have their own logic. Some of the logic will reveal itself. Some of the logic is going to, I could describe it or Louisa could describe it, but then when you experience it, it's a whole different level of aha. So this is very much a path of immersion, and it's going to be developing since we don't have all the 9 modules out, right? But we're going to be developing these modules as we go. And if we can engage with these practices, then you will have experiences about them and you will enrich our dialogue about what the benefits are and how they connect up with, say, the inner work or the creative work or the team building work or the social sculpture work. Okay, so it's immersive, it's experiential. Go do it. Tell us what you experience. And then as we go into modules 2 and 3, I just wanted to have a few minutes of conversation about them because we're going to be planning them, and this is a chance to touch in with you guys and hear your interests. So the overarching ideas for modules 2 and 3 are the transformation of the shadow and mapping the higher self, which is basically noticing in our consciousness, in our behaviors, where we are habitual and compelled, and in learning to interrupt those loops and those habits, and also learning how to come at, to come from a freer space. I think my mom just joined us. Hi, Sue.
Hey.
And so as we go forward, I just want to be in dialogue with folks. I want to hear what your interests are, what your questions are, and wanted to open up this space to hear anything that's coming up for you as we dive into these courses so that we can keep it in mind as we plan and produce them in the next couple of weeks. So Sue Barnum, my mom, just joined us. She's in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Mom, you know Rachel, but also David Hodgson, our dear friend in Berkeley. Allison Lee, our sweet friend in Sebastopol here. And Jonathan Rusko, who came in from North Carolina. He's a good friend of Iron's out in New York City.
Ah, Hey, Jonathan, that's nice.
Hey, great to meet you.
Is it all right? David, you just sent me a message through the platform, and I wanted to just, before we dive into modules 2 and 3, I just wanted to answer the question because it's a quick fix. Okay? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So, David, in terms of the notifications, you have some choices about what you receive in terms of constant messages from the platform. If you look in the left-hand menu of the community platform, at the bottom is something called account. And I believe if you click there, it will take you to the email notifications and you can pick and choose.
Yeah, I did that, but then I switched them all off. There's nothing other than turn them off so they don't come in, mm-hmm. or, you know, it'd be really nice if we could get a digest so that just once a day I get one email that goes, oh, these things have happened. That's not set up currently in the system. Brilliant. And I don't know whether you can easily do that. So,
yeah. No idea if that's possible, but I'm sure there's a plugin for that.
WordPress, there's a plugin for everything, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There are so many plugins. Okay, so I will look into that. Thank you for that idea.
So are there any thoughts that come up for us on the shadow work or the higher self, which is kind of the real spiritual component, like training consciousness to perceive spiritual realities? That's module 3. So is there anything boiling for people or anything that y'all want to share right now that we should take a note of? I realize these are big questions, but this is what we're working on currently. So we just want to open that up. That if anything is up or alive for people, we'll at least take a note of it. And if not, that's fine. We'll roll it out and we can talk about it as we go.
Well, I'm still thinking about how to bring up that image more perfectly. So I'm not way ahead onto module 3 yet. So, but I'll think about it.
Well, I just want to say one thing about Sue. She's been a practicing psychotherapist for 35 years or something. So I'm looking forward to hearing your voice in especially modules 2, but also 3. So that'll be fun to get your input there.
Well, I'm not sure how you're doing module 2 and 3 right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to input until I see it.
Yeah.
That's also fine.
Yeah.
That's also fine. You know, one thing that David and I are working on, for example, is I participate in these calls, in some of these calls that he runs with the GRC, his project. And one thing that we're continuously talking about is the personal dynamics within a team of people who's trying to do something big. And that in those teams, the personal dynamics often make the project fragile. And so finding ways to really go into this work that we're about to dive into with modules 2 and 3, that I would say is at the appropriate level of depth or detail. And so this, for many people, it's somewhat esoteric, but for this school community, this is what we'll be looking for, is the right level of granularity and rigor and depth that makes it practical and makes it useful for you in your work. And so, we don't have to, there may not be anything to say about it now, but as we roll this out, that's some of the dialogue that we're going to invite, is, you know, what is, and it may take a while to realize it, but what is here useful, what is needed, what is relevant, what is practical for you, while also being really rigorous and detailed and going into the phenomena. So anyway, just wanted to open that up. I don't really have anything else to talk about on the call. Those are the things that I had on my mind.
Quick, well, But for some reason, that just brought to mind family constellation stuff.
Yeah.
Is that, is that somehow embedded also within that piece? Because I found family constellation work done in organizational contexts to be deeply illuminating around human system patterns of human system dysfunction and, you know, family of origin stuff playing out within, you know, groups and these larger dynamic patterns. So that would seem to map, at least in my head, to what you were just talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I've done a little bit of family constellation stuff, and I kind of have a, we kind of got trained in the same phenomena from a different orientation, from a highly sort of individualizing and taking responsibility for your own shit kind of perspective. So one of the things you'll hear in the course is about 100% responsibility. So it maps to family constellations, and I haven't done enough to know that if this oversight is part of family constellations, but what I have seen and experienced in family constellations or constellations work in general is that when we see the pattern playing out in the group, there isn't always sufficient attention to owning and taking responsibility as individuals for our roles in that. And I've often been in constellations work that actually gets very messy because there's no responsibility. It's all in the system. It's all in the room. It's all out there. Whereas some of our training has been just the opposite. Like, yes, it is playing out in the room. Yes, it is playing out around us in the different scales. And I'm 100% responsibility for my agency and my roles in these dynamics. So that, I think, David, would be an interesting conversation to have as we get going, to see where we're going to be sharing in terms of individual agency and responsibility maps and corresponds and plugs into collective observation, perception, collective or shared responsibility. I'm not sure which, but that would be an interesting dialogue or an interesting question to kind of follow.
Yeah. I come at things a little bit differently, David, than family constellation. I'm a psychodramatist, and we use something called sociometry, which works very much the same way. But the question that comes to my mind, Jeff, is when we're looking at the group dynamic, what is my part? What is my history? What if this sort of hooks me? How does my body respond? Because my body will tell me, if I'm paying attention, how my own family of origin stuff is in the room. And so the question is, what part of this is mine? Now, six different people can own the same dynamic, the same thing, because they have it in their history. But in the world, I don't find, in doing the organizational work that I've done, I don't find that people are willing to say what part of this is mine. They want to say, that's yours. That's not mine. And so, but I was taught always to ask, first of all, what is my part? I have to look inside to see what my part is, or what could be my part. Mm. And what is my body telling me about what my part is? So I'll look up a little bit more comparison between sociometry and family constellation work, so that I can speak more. I can speak better to that. But I hear exactly what you're saying. We're certainly going to see the family of origin work in the room.
I've never heard of sociometry. That's a new word. I wrote it down. I'm going to have to look that up.
It's J.L. Marino, the man who created psychodrama, created sociometry as a mapping of all the relationships in the room. It's an invisible web of all the relationships in the room.
And it's at least 100 years old, isn't it?
It's 100 years old, yeah.
That's way back.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's been around for a long, long time. He had no idea about neuroscience and all the things that we know now, and about family therapy and family constellations, but he knew it all inside.
Yeah.
And so sociometry is fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
What's the name of that main book that where he describes it? His main book?
Oh, well, there's, you know, Who Shall Survive is his
Who Shall Survive.
It's his main spiritual tome, but it's huge. But I can share some sociometry, a little bit of sociometry information with you that might...
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on the community platform activity feed so that everybody who is not listening to this call can access the resources. That'd be awesome. I'm going to get you guys into this practice of sharing there.
Well, as we go, we're going to be sharing what we have to share. And I think things like sociometry and family constellations will be right there in the room with us for further exploration and learning and understanding, so that in this school, there can be a lot of schools of thought represented and avenues for people to explore and use. So thanks for bringing both of those things up, you guys.
What's it called? The group activity, what?
Well, it's just when you go to the community platform, it's just on the homepage, you know, where you can post things. Just post it right there. It'd be great.
Okay. And if there's not another agenda for a couple of minutes, I would like for David and Jonathan and Allison to tell me where you're coming from.
Because you missed their check-ins.
I missed the check-ins. I'm sorry, I had another call.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, we don't have anything else on the call other than close and thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
I always try and go last, so.
Why don't you do something really improvisational and go first?
I'm in Berkeley, California, British originally. Did an MBA thing in sustainable business with a strong focus on soft systems, that body of practice about 10, 12 years ago. So this is my slightly different version of my intro.
It is.
Repeat myself too much. I've kind of been working in a parallel path to Magenta, I guess, for the last 10 or 12 years. And had bumped into Jeff about 9 years ago, I think it was. And now have this thing called the Global Regeneration Co-Lab, which is 300 people from around the world. Focus on kind of basically social sculpture, or at least a strong subset of them, even though they wouldn't be using that framing necessarily. It's fundamentally the work that a lot of the people there are doing to try to cultivate new social systems around the world.
Wow. Fabulous. Thank you.
Just to close that loop, Allison and David, make sure y'all connect. I think Allison would probably make a great member of the GRC.
So Allison, what do you do? What's your interest?
Mom, on this group, well, kind of transitioning, how do I transition into being more impactful as a teacher and as a community organizer, I guess we could call it, going from, there's an obvious mental wall, so to speak, when we're trying to discuss the design principles or, you know, just how to envision a better world, And I find that wall interesting. And I want to work with that a lot with young people, and just because that wall isn't there, and work with it and communities as well, because it is. And so it's this part of how do we see opportunity and how do we make change together? Anyway, yeah, I'm a teacher and I'm working on economic redesign projects and some research projects relating to well-being. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Where are you?
I'm in Sebastopol.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I met Jeff and Louisa and Irene because Farnica was my student for a brief time. She came through Orchard View. And so we met, and Louisa would come in from time to time and talk about the cool things they do working internationally. And I, you know, have an international focus myself, but have been kind of bound. But anyway, yeah. So we're very aligned, I think. And so it's really nice to find community and resonance with your family here.
So I'm in High Point, North Carolina right now. That's where I'm from originally. But I was living in New York before all this pandemic stuff happened. And I just graduated with my bachelor's in philosophy last year. So that was a big, you know, for the past few years, that's what I was working on. I mostly studied race and gender studies. So that was the focus of that. And this whole course, you know, I didn't really feel led to get into a master's program or to continue with the philosophy in a way. I wanted to do something more practical, and Irene, you know, told me about this course, and I think it'll be great for me to figure out what my next steps are, you know, engage more creatively and, you know, kind of put that philosophy to use in a better way, but in like the new world that's emerging, you know? So that's pretty much it.
Cool. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
I would like to add just a couple of sentences. I work with a group called Creativity for Peace. And we bring Palestinian and Israeli teenage girls to peace camp in Santa Fe and have for the last 15 years. Irene's been here and been participating with me. Nice. It's a really challenging endeavor to try to deal with that Middle East situation. And it's discouraging at times, but we have trained 300 plus girls who are out in the world doing peace activities. One of them, Mashbeta, has spoken at the United Nations and represented Israel at the women's thing in Beijing a few years ago. I mean, they're doing fabulous things. One of them started a preschool in I don't remember which city, some Israeli city. The only one in all of Israel and Palestine that has both Israeli and Palestinian preschoolers in it.
Wow.
But I mean, big, wonderful things. And, you know, this is a hard time right now because we're going to have camp over there. And we've never done that before. So, and camp starts the middle of July. So we're trying to figure that out. So, but this is, I mean, I've been watching Jeff. When he was 19, he started writing about teaching creativity to adults, the world. And I've watched this develop, and I'm excited beyond excitement. Rachel's heard me talk about that before. So anyway, that's a little bit more about me. And I'm thrilled to be part of this and to see how I will use it personally, but I will also use it in the world because I've got lots of little things going.
Great.
Cool.
All right,
so I think we're ready to wrap. I don't have any further closing thoughts other than gratitude for everyone showing up And I'm just reading that thread. Thank you, Allison, for those. And want to invite you all to connect with us offline whenever you need to. And we're looking forward to producing these next modules, getting them going. And I just wanted to open up to any closing thoughts. If anyone has a checkout, now's the time to do it so we can sign off for this week.
Thanks, you guys. I'm really looking forward to getting into module one finally and catching up with a group and being a part of this beautiful conversation more deeply and more intimately with all of you. Great.
Thanks.
See you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it just seems like an awesome group of people you guys have gathered together. It's my closing checkout.
Thank you.
It's an awesome group of people.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jeff and Louisa and Aaron.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you for this. This is awesome.
See you next week.
Very good.
Yeah, see you then.
Have a lovely week, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Did we...